Who can I talk to?
Can anyone relate to what I'm going through?
Who else understands what it's like to have cancer?
Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer with people you know. You just want to talk with someone who knows how you feel. Open 24/7, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is a safe space to connect with people who understand what it's like to have cancer. It's free to use and anonymous. From day one, whatever you need to get off your chest, community members are available day and night to offer support on the online forum. Talk openly and honestly with people who've been there too. You're not in this alone. We're here to help. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show. So then Stanbury goes riding with her kid, Yasmin. And she's like, wow, we haven't done this together for a while, have we? I'm excited. Me too, mother. I was talking to the horse. I'm sorry, but I brought the child along with me.
Do you remember when we would go riding, all of us, you and your, is it brothers that you have, or is it sisters? I can't remember. Brothers, mother. Yes, of course.
Yes, mother, we used to have Dusty, Footsie and Floor. Oh, God, do we have to talk about the nannies now? No, mother, those were the horses.
The horses were the nannies, darling. Come on.
I love that you named your horse after the floor. That's just a great idea.
No, mother, it was F-L-E-U-R, not F-L-O-O-R.
Less funny.
Don't quit your day job, Seinfeld.
Sometimes right. I call Sergio Floor, just because I walk all over him.
Look, this one's for you, Speedy. She's like, not for me, mother. And so Stanbury is telling us a story. She's like, when Yasmin was little, I used to take her riding every weekend with the boys, and they used to have riding lessons. And then I would go over a hill and I would hear, mother, 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 mother. It would fade into the background. It was like non-music to my ears. I just love that sound. Disappearing children. I brought her here again today just to watch me ride far, far away. Yasmin, stay right there. Mummy will be right back.
You know, the funny thing about riding off into the sunset is that, unfortunately, like Hemingway says, the sun always rises, so you never really go anywhere. Suddenly the sun's shining and the children are still back there. Anyway, what were you saying, Yasmin?
Mother, look at this one.
Hemingway, or as I call her, you're always in the way. Get out of the way, Yasmin. I'm trying to ride towards the sunset. Thank you.
Sergio has a weird kink for Marielle Hemingway. It's disgusting. Okay, Yasmin, what were you saying?
Look, mother, look at
this
horse.
She's so fertile. She's very fertile. Stop following me, Sergio. All right? I don't need you stalking me to add in Marielle Hemingway compliments.
Okay, I love her, baby. I love her. Can we name our son Marielle? Why would you want to name our son Marielle? Because I love Marielle so much, honey.
Okay, where are we here?
Mother, look at this horse. This one's got crazy eyes.
Well, stop pointing at Sergio. It's not nice.
No, mother, the horse.
Can horses have babies? Sergio, stop.
Sergio, take off that saddle. Actually, keep it on. It's kind of nice. So
she's like, my conversation with Yasmin has really opened my eyes to how she's feeling. LOL. So now I'm here to show her that I can do things with her, like ride a horse. We're really doing... Do we really have to shoot this scene? It's my daughter. Like, please spend some time with your daughter. We're just trying to wrap up scene. All right.
I don't actually know what a teenager wants to do because I didn't do a lot of things with my parents, you know, hashtag boarding school trauma, you may remember. I know one thing I didn't do with my parents, share problems, because apparently no one wants to hear about those. Remember last week, anyone? Flashback? No? Okay, fine.
Well, I'm glad you and Sergio are getting on better now. It's been very nice. We had a long talk about the baby thing. She's like,
yes, and what was your talk about, mother?
She's like, I don't want one, you know? I said, Sergio, look at Yasmin. Do you really want another one of those walking around the house? Mother! And he said, absolutely not. Really solved a lot.
Well, what I did was I had Michael record a bunch of those E-Trade baby commercials, put them on loop, and gave it to Sergio. Now he just cradles that DVD in his arms like it's his own child. Seems to work.
So she's like, well, sounds rational, Mother. She's like, thank you. He'd like one day in his life, which is completely fair enough. You know, those days of divorce are going to be lovely for him. But for now.
Mother, I just think if you're unsure, even at all, if it's the reason you're doing something is to make someone else happy, that's so unfair on the child. Thank you for finally admitting that. I will now let you be on this horse, and I'm going to go do something with adults, because I'm not going to do something to make someone else happy. Thank you for reminding me.
Thank you for remembering the only lesson I've ever given you. Selfishness is the way to go. Completely. In every relationship.
Mother, if you're bringing a child into the world... Disgusting. But yes, but if you bring your child into the world, gross. Yes, but if it weren't for Sergio and you wouldn't want it, like, that's not right. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry I wasn't listening because you're a teenager, I'm an adult, and apparently adults don't listen to teenagers at this time of your life. That's what I've learned from boarding school. What are you saying? Something about potatoes?
So she's like, look, if I'm brutally honest, Sergio, I don't think we'd have a baby this soon if he wasn't married to a 47-year-old and he didn't feel like time was ticking. Because, you know, doctors say time is ticking, you know? It's like, she's dried up, she's shriveled, she's old, it's falling out. You know, I mean, you don't put a timer on, just leave the muffin in the pan as long as you'd like, you know what I mean? Muffins wouldn't burn if people didn't put so much pressure on them. That's what I'm saying.
Have you ever tried making sourdough and pulling it out of the oven after 5 minutes? It's just not going to be good. You've got to give it time. So he needs time as a little sourdough baby, and he will enjoy it, okay? And it's put added pressure on us. And so I'm thinking, you know, maybe I might look for a surrogate, as in surrogate husband. I'm really sick of him.
But basically she's like, yeah, you know, look, my ovaries might be old, but a surrogate's won't be. So I've just told him maybe in a couple of years, and it solved everything. Like, well, that's a nice pat ending to that storyline. I'm glad she didn't cave and just say yes.
Me too.
It was my greatest fear that she was going to be like, I will do it. I'm just a girl standing in a bookshop, waiting for Hugh Grant to make everything okay at the end, you know?
And then she remembered that it's not up to her to cater to his whims that have changed after marriage. It's up to him to remember that she always said she didn't want other kids and that he can't change it up now that they're married. So then they go walking off. They go riding off onto the course. And Stanbury's like, look at it. It's like the British countryside out here. Mother, no. It's nothing like the British countryside. It's sand. It's nothing but sand.
Yes, Yasmin. This is why I don't go horse riding with you. Do you understand sarcasm, you fucking moron? Did your nanny teach you anything? Bring Fleur back over here and give her a whipping.
Well, this is nice. Something we can do together. Chit-chat, you're outside. We can do a lot together. Okay, so I'll see you about next year around this time on National Caroline Does Something with Yasmin Day.
Oh, God, I'll believe it when I see it, Mother. Like, you're right. We're never going to talk again. Goodbye. Goodbye, person I once named. So then we go to Ayans, who is FaceTiming her sister. Now, every time these two get together, Ayan has just won an Oscar. It cracks me up. Literally every time the sister comes on screen, Ayan's like, guess what I did? She's like, I am so proud of you. Our entire village is proud of you. There's a parade happening right behind me right now. We are so proud of you. Let me tell them. The audience is waiting. You made a tuna salad. She made a tuna salad. It's like the whole village is like, yes, you did it.
I feel like I am Mickey Mouse arrived in Dubai. I'm like, I don't really know what that means.
I think because she's wearing a Mickey Mouse ear dress.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She's wearing that red dress with the circles on her shoulder. Yes. She definitely aligned with some designer this year that's really into big shoulders. That's been her thing. So they talk about her going to Huda makeup or whatever. It's Huda Cosmetics. Huda, you know? And then Ifra's telling Ayan how she's always been the kindest person. Ayan starts crying and talks about the golf trip and everything. And Ayan tells us that, like, she was really hurt when she heard from the girls. Ayan feels bad because she doesn't want to make other people feel the way they said that they felt when she's around Lisa. So then after the golf trip, I went and talked to Lisa about it. And Lisa was like, you know, like the girls think that about that. And like, you know, Lisa's basically like, just don't bring it up. Don't talk about this. I don't want to bring up. Don't bring it up on camera.
Yeah, so she's kind of telling her what she can talk about and what she can do. And, you know, Ion's complaint is, like, she's so controlling. And then we see a lot of clips of her being very controlling, you know, and telling her, like, kind of criticizing her and criticizing what she can wear and what she can do. And Ifra's like, but, you know, the most important thing is your Oscar award. And I'd like to thank all of your teachers. They have built a statue of you in the center of town. So that's kind of the ending of her storyline, but also the hint to the start of her next, which is the breakup between her friendship between her and Lisa. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So now we're seeing, now we're going to go to this goodbye Dubai party. We're going to this really nice house. And there's all these like really expensive, like $5 million cars. Yeah, great. So
some douchey shit right there.
Like, enjoy your very expensive car that you will be afraid to drive anywhere. So then, you know, Lisa talked about how she's really excited for this. And, but she's also saying to us, like, how, like, Ion seems to be really enjoying this whole new thing with Stanbury. And, like, she's like, you know what? Go, whatever. It's just weird. Go have fun with that one.
Yeah. And they're sitting on two thrones. So when they come in, everybody has to, like, kiss their rings. And
I don't understand what this has to do with Goodbye Dubai. Like, where did this element come in?
I don't know. So Lisa's like, I'm super excited for the party, but this setup is weird, you know? And so she can't, everybody starts coming in and, you know, making their comments on, oh my God, we have to kiss their rings and all this good stuff. And then we start getting like kind of wrap ups to storylines. Like Sarah says, hello, Nina's there. And Nina's like, hi there. Oh my God, you're, what a welcome sight. You're basically a fried potato. I love French fries.
Oh my goodness. Ugh, I forgot all my fruitcakes at home. I was going to let you guys have them because they're so popular with my fruitcake business that we've all been talking about.
So she asks about Maktoum, and Sarah's like, Maktoum right now is going through emotional distress because, well, the UPS people showed up. And I said, UPS stands for you pout, stick get murdered. And so, you know, he got very scared. And I was saying, just kidding, but he was already under the bed. So, you know, it's been very difficult for him.
You know, after the phone call with Akin, we were arguing by text, and I told him it's over. But he's still trying to communicate and fix things. So is this the end completely? I don't know, because he's still trying. Sarah, what did I just say about red flags? Just because someone's trying does not mean they are deserving of anything. No, block that number and find a different guy with abs. There are plenty out there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm having a trouble jumping on this whole, like, let's empower Sarah story. I just don't believe a thing that Sarah is saying. I don't believe her. I think she's just like, oh, we still have one more episode. I still might be in a relationship, everybody. Still
it feels a little self-serving, and I hate to say this. It feels like, because what the takeaway is like, I am such an empathetic person, and I care about healing people so much that even when I see red flags, I ignore them because I just want to heal someone. And when I see someone who's trying to heal, I want to heal with them. It's like, I know you're trying to advance this idea, but girl, this guy does not deserve you, does not deserve anyone. Go on.
Asterisk,
then Nina's like, actually a real relationship, which it probably is not.
Yeah, I can't. So Nina's like, time will heal the pain. Time will heal the pain. And Sarah's like, oh, but can we not talk about Akin, though? Can we not talk about him? Please, don't talk about Akin. Your battery is draining, Sarah. And Sarah's like, well, I told him I need to focus on my kid, but then he shut the phone in my face. And Saba's like, can you believe it, Nina? Can you?
It's absolutely awful. God, I wish I could just go over there and sabotage him. But I'm an alien.
Oh, gosh. So Nina's like, imagine her son as if she hasn't already been through enough with the nanny. And then he never texts you back.
Oh, he texted angry. I was shocked. So then Brooks arrives.
I just love how everybody puts these conversations together. Like, oh my God, first her son was almost kidnapped, and then she won't get a text back from Akin? totally the same thing.
So Brooks arrives and she has basically like this like young white twink on her arm. And Sambra's like, who's the man? And she goes, oh. And Ayan's like, a white man. And Brooks goes, oh, crowns, I love it. I hate it. I hate what they're wearing. Ayan put her ashy ass hand out for me to kiss it. And Sambra put her peeling suntan lizard hand. Oh, no.
Like, he's the child. Where are his diapers? She's like, I've got nothing going on with this young man. We met on Instagram and we've been hanging out ever since.
Stamper is like, here comes Doogie Howser. Ha! A nice young, fresh reference. So Sarah tells us. I know, I'm not really talking about people in glass houses. I'm like, hello, a real person would reference someone from Big Business. Here comes Seth Green in Big Business.
I know, let's get another Muriel Hemingway reference in here while we can.
Were there two Hemingway sisters? There were, right? Was it Muriel and Mariel or just Mariel?
Muriel and Mariel?
What was, no. Was it Mariel or
I know what you mean, though. There was a blonde one. So there was a redhead one from Taxi, right?
No, that's Mary Lou Henner. There's Mariel.
Oh.
Mariel Hemingway. I'm going to say sister because I swear there's another one. Margot Hemingway. I knew it.
Okay. So, so Max comes in and he's like 10 years old. And they're like, oh, so who are you, Max? And he's like, hello, I'm Max. I'm from England. I've lived here for a few years now. And okay, that's enough talking. Please move on. No one cares. So then Sarah's like, oh my God, who's this guy? Probably picked him up from some daycare. Am I right?
I'm throwing her in jail for abducting a child. So then they're like, Stamper's like, well, he may be younger than Sergio, but not nearly as dumb, I'm sure. And Brooke tells us, well, Max, the ME, we kind of just became friends. There's absolutely nothing romantic going on between me and Max. You're just a guy who knows how to fix a toilet that's embedded in the ground.
So Sergio's like, maybe someone's younger than me for once. We've been looking for somebody young. Can we put our egg in him? Put our baby in him, honey. Put it in him.
Doesn't work that way, Sergio.
Oh, come on.
Sergio.
So, what?
Go away. Continue on.
So Talene and Raph arrive, and she's like, oh my God, I have to kiss your ring. I will literally kiss your ring for a few drinks.
The only one who's willing to kiss the hand. So, so then Saba turns to Brooks. They're all sitting at a table, and she goes, huh, we have one question to ask you, Brooks. Who's the 12-year-old with you? Sabotage.
Stop it. And they all start laughing. So then basically there's like royal waves and stuff, and Lisa is arriving and she will not kiss their hands. And I was like, come on, kiss our hands. It's fun. And she's like, no. She gets just like kind of upset. You can tell that she's upset. She's not happy with this situation.
But Rich does. And Stamper
is like, Rich does it. Yeah. Rich is just like, aha, isn't this fun, honey? And she's like, no. So Stamper is like, Lisa can't because she can't hide how jealous she is at the moment. And then Rich kisses her hands. And
but Rich hates conflict. By the way, I just want to say Rich hates conflict. And so something happens where his neck turns red and like his lower jaw turns red because he hates conflict so much. He's always trying to smooth things over with Lisa. So he's so unsettled by the fact that Lisa will not kiss Caroline Stanbury's hand that he goes and kisses it instead.
Yeah, he definitely has a house husband who does not want to be there vibe where every time she's like, well, let me tell you what's going on with the girls, Rich. He's like, why are you moving your hands like that? I'm playing foosball in the pub. I'm sorry. In my head.
Twisting his hands.
Yeah. I'm good. I think this marriage is not going to last. Calling it now. So then the boys, anyway, he's trying to kiss and make up, and she's not having this at all. So then the boys cheers and start chatting and talking about cars because boys love that kind of thing. And they're like, oh my God, that car's worth $5 million.
Yeah.
Almost like we don't have a whole half a town that can't feed itself. Weird. So then Ayan and Stanberry leave their thrones and join the party. And Saba's like, oh, look, Ayan, you didn't invent feathers after all.
Saba's really on a tear tonight. She's like, well, I think I'm finally ready to be funny, everyone. So Ayan is like, no, Lisa wore feathers because I would have worn feathers. And Lisa gives like this real stank eye, like, no, the designer made the dress. Please don't like add kerosene oil to this feather, okay? So Stanbury, and then they're like, do you guys have food? She's like, it's coming. Lisa's like, because I didn't eat. And they're talking about like eating before a party, et cetera, et cetera. One of the few times where food, the lack of food at a party does not turn into an enormous multi-episode arc. It's just a brief moment. So
then we see Caroline and Max chatting with a party guest, and Max is like, we're getting to know each other a bit more, you know, we snuggle in Netflix, that sort of thing. She's like, you like my house, right? Should you ever move? Nothing's going on with me and Max, everybody. Just Netflix and chill. Netflix and chill, am I right? Well, hey, Letha, why did you put a Mina Rowe right on Max's forehead? Please take that off. Very disrespectful.
It's called branding. Okay.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
She struck him with her motor vehicle. She had been under the influence and then she left him there.
In January 2022, local woman Karen Reed was implicated in the mysterious death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. It was alleged that after an innocent night out for drinks with friends, Karen and John got into a lover's quarrel en route to the next location. What happens next depends on who you ask. Was it a crime of passion?
If you believe the prosecution, it's because the evidence was so compelling. This was clearly an intentional act. And his cause of death was blunt force trauma with hypothermia.
Or a corrupt police cover-up.
If you believe the defense theory, however, this was all a cover-up to prevent one of their own from going down.
Everyone had an opinion. And after the 10-week trial, the jury could not come to a unanimous decision.
To end in a mistrial, it's just a confirmation of just how complicated this case is.
Law and Crime presents the most in-depth analysis to date of the sensational case in Karen. You can listen to Karen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Kiki, and my podcast is back with a new season. And let me tell you, it's too good. And I'm diving into the brains of entertainment's best and brightest, okay? Every episode, I bring on a friend. I mean, the likes of Amy Poehler, Kel Mitchell, Vivica Fox, the list goes on. So follow, watch, and listen to Baby. This is Kiki Palmer on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Sergio and Rafi are admiring a car, and Sergio is like, oh, it's all carbon fiber, yeah? It's carbon fiber. Just like our baby will be, Sergio. Oh, yes, we have baby? Idiot.
So then, let's see. Talene is talking to Stanbury, and she's like, why don't you have a drink, babe? She's like, my question exactly. Sergio! So just like you, listen, just like you, take it all away from me. Ha, ha, ha. I'm not going to kiss that hand, okay? You can kiss this ass, right? Am I right? Ruff, I just told her instead of kissing her hand, she can kiss my ass. Hilarious, babe!
All right, everyone, I have an announcement to make. My husband is incredibly stupid. Thank you so much for coming. Also, apparently I have a daughter and some children, and they like to ride horses, and we have a horse named Floor. So that's very exciting. Michael has started to return my text messages. He said he's finally gotten over the PTSD of hosting me for so many weeks. And Sergio has learned that babies do not come out of ear canals. Anyone else? Any other updates?
So she's like, I've made a video. Hold on, let's put it on. Oh, this is Sergio crying when I put saran wrap over the toilet. Sorry. Just let that play out. It's hilarious, really. Right.
Oh, wait.
All right.
Here's a video of Sergio getting startled and jumping back in the air when he sees a cucumber on the floor. That's fun. Oh, and here's one of him jumping when he sees tinfoil on the kitchen counter. Also fun.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. All right, let's play the next. Michael, put the next video. Oh, this is the one. This is the one where Sergio is chasing around a little laser pointer thing. Continuously runs into the glass door over and over. Listen, we chipped the glass door, but it was worth it.
Here's one of Sergio trying to jump from the couch to the counter and then missing.
Baby,
Here's a video. We put a GoPro around Sergio's neck, and now you can see what he gets up to all day in the yard.
Ow. All right. Well, here's one also that I made with Ayan to prove that we are the best friends. Put the song up. It's like, best friends, we're best friends. No one's ever been a better friend, Ayan, than me. Thank you. Thank you for the video. And everyone's like, that was the most cringe video I've ever seen. And listen, I've seen dick pics from Zoltan. All right.
Sarah just goes, it looks like a tampon ad.
And Lisa's like, you're just trying to rile me up at this point. You know how weird it is that things are progressing so quickly with Caroline Stanberry. And it makes me think, has Ayan been telling me everything? Because I feel like a boyfriend just got cheated on by his girlfriend. And Stanberry is like, well, may everyone have a good summer. Everyone. So they start talking about their summers. And, oh, but Maldives, come. Oh, we're rich.
I'll be in the Maldives. I'll be there humping a stingray. Wasted. You don't even want to see what Raph is going to do that stingray. So then Ayan goes up to Lisa and she's like, how do you feel? And Lisa goes, enjoy. What do you mean enjoy? Enjoy what? Enjoy. It's only the beginning of the ride. Which ride?
So she's ride doing this on. Thing where she's like kind of bitchily looking away and like giving her glassy eyes. Like,
yeah,
I will not even acknowledge you. And Ayan's like, what? I don't know. But Ayan, you know, to be fair, is like, what? I can't believe that you're annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm having like a best friend party with Caroline Stanberry as the season finale. What? Yeah.
She's like, yeah, just, you know, just don't fall off the ride because I'll be the first one to laugh and pour kerosene on you. So Ayan is like, the moment that Lisa walked in, I could see she was upset and I was throwing a party with somebody. And I'm annoyed that Lisa's acting like this. It's exhausting and I'm fucking over it.
And so basically we just cut around to little things at the party. And Sarah and Talene are spinning this poor woman who's working at the event, but she's like literally a table. Oh, and they're like, oh my God, spin her around. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Oh my God, this woman pretended to be a table. Take her to jail. So then Ayan is talking to Lisa still. And she's like, can I talk to you? And Lisa's like, why? She goes, what do you mean why? Can we talk? And she's like, no.
Rich, who literally looks like a blood clot, is like, well, why don't you go and talk to your best friend then? Do it. Talk to your best friend. We don't want conflict. Ah, because she might be our only, like, she might know someone in Cotswold who knows a 50 to 100 acre farm that we could buy. So Lisa's like, I don't know. So then Talene's watching and she's like, oh my God, something happened. You're upset. You're upset, Ayan. And Ayan's like, no, I just had Lisa come talk to me and she said no. And so then Rich is all nervous. He's like, what happened? What happened? And she's like, I'll tell you later, Rich. So then, there's just sort of like a little bit of chaos around all of this. So Ayan goes up to Chris, her husband. By the way, what happened to the part, my favorite part in this entire party, which is when Sergio goes up to Caroline and Caroline goes, Sergio, take off the bow tie. You look like a waiter. Disgusting.
Oh, you skipped it earlier.
Oh,
I thought you didn't like that line.
No, that was my favorite part of the party.
You said instead, Sergio, go away. It's like, okay, I guess I didn't like that bow tie line.
I missed it. So then
Ayan is telling her husband, she's like, I'm trying to talk to her, but she won't talk to me. And I mean, I guess she's mad at the video with me and Stanbury. Like, I guess I'm good. And I'm surprised he wasn't like, well, you know, sometimes in life, I think it's, oh yeah, it's, he does. He goes, when you're true friends, you go through your ups and your downs and the good times get you through the bad times. And I appreciate you coming to me with this instead of letting it fester. And I just want you to know that anytime you need to take a little mental health day from your work day and just relax a little bit, you've got my support. You're one of our best employees here. Thanks.
I know.
Chris, the human resources husband.
Chris just spewing out generic fortune cookie advice just to get his wife to be quiet. Yeah, well, the good times go through the bad times. All right. So then Lisa comes over because someone said, like, to told Lisa that Ayana's upset. So Lisa comes over acting like nothing was wrong at all and that she wasn't being, like, very rude to her best friend. And she's like, hey, Talin said that you're upset. And Ayana's like, I said, can you talk to me? And you're like, no. She goes, well, I'm here now. I'm here now, girlfriend, best friend. I'm like, what? You can't act like you know you were being mean, which is why you're totally overcompensating now.
She's like, well, I asked you to give me a minute. Why are you making it a big deal? And she's like, well, the girls are telling me that when I'm with you, I'm different than when I'm with them. And she's like, and that's what you wanted to talk to me about? She's not having this. And she's like, I thought we weren't going to talk about this. And she goes, I can tell, because she doesn't want, she's told her, like, we're not going to have this discussion on camera or whatever.
Yeah.
And so Ayana's like, I can talk to you though, because it's my feelings. And so she's like, well, she already threw me under the bus in Bali. And here she is again, trying to throw me under the bus for a second time. But guess what? Guess what, you tit? I'm a tat.
But by the way, Ayan threw her under the bus.
What, you tit, I'm a tat. I like
I love that. I did love that. But let's not forget, Lisa was being shady with Ayan. Then Ayan was being shady with Caroline. But it's not like Lisa was being a perfect angel when Ayan, quote unquote, threw her under the bus. And Ayan didn't throw her under the bus. Ayan just passed along a voice note. Like, the chain of shadiness had already begun, okay? It's not, you know? But anyway, so she's like, Lisa's like, well, yes, Ayan says, I should be able to tell you how I feel because it's not okay that you're feeling that. And I didn't notice that. And Lisa goes, yeah, well, I spoke to Stanbury about you saying that she felt like I was bragging. And she said she never said that. She never felt like I was bragging about my house and my fam. So just to pause here, because when the argument went to this place, I need like a moment to parse out what everyone was saying. Apparently Ayan told Lisa that Stanbury told Ayan that Stanbury felt that Lisa was bragging that she was trying to get 50 to 100 acres and that Stanbury's parents' farmhouse was too small. And so Lisa is now saying, well, I spoke to Stanbury and she never accused me of bragging, she says.
And she's like, really, well, I didn't say it. Yeah, she's like, but I didn't say it was in a bad way. She goes, but yeah, you told me that, Ayan. She goes, no, I didn't. I said she was asking me. She's like, you use the word bragging, Ayan. So then Ayan tells us, Stanbury told me I had lunch with Lisa. And I was like, oh my God, that's so good. What did you talk about? And basically that Lisa said, I'm buying your mom's house. And then flashback to that lunch. And so I called Lisa and was like, hey, why the fuck do you want to buy Stanbury's mother's house? Also, this is also a typical Ayan conversation because there's like little misunderstandings.
Yes.
That pepper it. You know what I mean? So then Lisa's like, no, Ayan actually told me Caroline Stanbury feels like I'm bragging that I'm buying her family's farm. And I would never say that. So I called Stanbury to talk about it. Okay. My God. So what do you think the truth is? I think that Stanbury talked to Ayan and she was like, oh, well, we talked. She said she wanted to buy property. And I told her my parents had a farm. And she said, oh, well, I'm looking for 100 or so acres. And Ayan was like, oh, my God. So even your parents' house is going to be too small? She's like, I mean, I guess so. Oh, you can't fold my mother's house. Who? Or like, you can't. My mother's house is too small for you or something. They probably gave her some kind of shit.
Right. They probably were being shady. Because the way we were being shady earlier in the episode. And I think it's very easy that Ayan may have thought she heard the word bragging, or maybe Lisa thought she heard it somewhere along the way. It's possible that someone misremembered something. And the fact that they are like totally unwilling to open the door to that possibility and that this fight is going to unfold and they're willing to throw away their friendship rather than admit that one of them may have misheard something is wild. And it is speaks to the fact that it's not really about this conversation. It's really about that this friendship was about to crater. And I think that Ayan does not like the idea that she is being manipulated, and she doesn't like the idea that, like, if she were away from Lisa, like, that people would like her more. I think it made her feel insecure that when she's with one certain person, people think she's less fun or less likable. And so I think Ayan is looking for an exit ramp, actually.
Well, yeah, but she's also seeing that Lisa's treating her so much differently if she's not controllable. I mean, if she does something that Lisa doesn't like, Lisa does this icy thing where she's just going to ice her out and be a bitch to her. Well,
yeah.
That's not the way to keep somebody on your side. I mean, if you're going to have like a little soldier, that's not really the way to do it. Like, you can't treat someone like crap and then still expect them to stay on your side the whole time. But I still understand why Lisa would have her feelings hurt by this whole thing. But your friends are going to be friends with other people. And, you know, she's like, I'm her only friend. Like, she said multiple times this season, like, no one's there for you but me. No one likes you but me. She has that kind of controlling thing over her. And I think that that's pretty apparent, too. So nobody likes that. And certainly nobody likes being told, like, oh, you're just someone's puppet. You know, especially when they feel like they're a breakout star of the show, which
exactly
told two different things. Like, you're the star of this show, but then also this other lady's controlling you. So if you're going to be patient with the lady who's controlling you, but then she's going to treat you like shit on top of it, it's like, bye, I don't need you. Like, you're actually a weight around my neck because you don't like anybody. So like, you're starting arguments with everybody, or not starting them, but you're arguing with everybody. And now I'm stuck on this side that no one wants to hang out with. Like, fuck off. I want to have fun.
Let me tell you something. In the history of reality TV, for the past 24, 25 years or so, maybe you can even go back further into the real world.
This goes to your sidekick theory.
Sidekick theory. Go. Nothing creates better, juicier, and more relatable drama than when a sidekick yearns for independence from its alpha. And it's just always the most acrimonious, vicious, thoroughly intense drama on reality TV, and we're now it's happening here. And like, we saw it with Lauren Conrad and Heidi Montag, we saw it with that one girl from Sorority Life and the other girl from Sorority Life. We've seen it from time and time again. I wish I had better examples, but I really remember that first season of Sorority Life, a great show, and it was all about a sidekick that came out from under her alpha. And like,
no, I mean, just from Housewives. I mean, even just Housewives, you can do like
Teddy and Lisa
Vanderpump and Kyle. I mean, all the Beverly Hills, Lisa and Kyle, then Brandy and Kyle, then Teddy and Lisa. Then
Beverly Hills,
it's a lot of Vanderpump
musical chairs of sidekicks. Get you. Yearning for independence, you know?
Yeah, but on all the housewives have them, you know?
Joel and Bethany. So, that's a big one.
Yes, Whitney and Heather. God, there's like a ton of them. Yeah, there's too many of them to go through here. We'll be here all day if we do that. But yeah, it's like the ultimate housewives fight, you know, when the sidekick comes out and it's like, I'm not your sidekick. And it's like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And then we have to see how you do without your sidekick. You know what I mean? But Chanel is the kind, and I think a lot of people are this kind. They go from being one person's sidekick to another person's sidekick. And, you know, I think she probably has a chance to be more on equal footing with Stanbury, because Stanbury just doesn't care. She's like funny enough on her own that she's like, let's have a joint party where we're both hilarious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, she doesn't seem like she has to compete. But I never really looked at Ayan as Lisa's puppet either until everybody started pointing it out this season. I thought they were friends and they stuck up for each other, but I never really looked at Lisa as controlling and, you know, like keeping Chanel from all of these other things until they've pointed it out.
Yeah. I think that's where there was like a little bit of a failure on the editing, is that they should have been layering in that kind of alpha energy and Ayan as the sidekick. I think they tried. It just wasn't there as strongly. And also because when the show first started, it was established that Ayan was the star. So it wasn't like you had someone, you didn't have like a Lauren Conrad who was clearly the star, and then a sidekick in Heidi, and then Heidi sort of gets her own awful independence. You have Ayan, who seems like she's already the star. We don't really see her as a sidekick, but she apparently really is a sidekick, and now she's going for her independence. So they start having this fight, and now like they're arguing over whether or not Chanel said that Caroline accused Lisa of bragging. And so now, you know, Lisa's going wild. She's like, you never told me. You told me that, Ayan, on my children's life, and now I'm going to lose my shit. Okay, you said I was bragging.
You said, she said I was bragging. And said, by the way, whenever somebody says on my children's life, they're lying.
Right.
I don't think anybody has ever not been lying on this show when they said that. I mean, we've seen it multiple times just this season. They're fucking lying. And then Ion's like, no, she never said you were bragging. And Lisa said, but you said that. And she's like, no, I never told you that she said that you were bragging. And she goes, swear on Taj's life.
And she's like,
I never said that, Lisa. She's like, I swear to God on my children's lives, God strike them dead.
I'm like, jeez. Okay. Jeez.
Can we not?
She's like, for the first time, I don't even know how it is possible, but I believe Stanbury over Ion. I believe she did say I was bragging because she was the one who brought up the whole family thing to me. I think Ion made it up. She's lying, and I think that the most hurtful part is that she's going to look me in the face and lie like that.
Oh, please. Well, first of all, you were bragging, okay? And so was Stanbury. Like, by my parents' house. They live in Cotswold. They've got an old place. They could get rid of it. You know, they've always want more money. You know, who doesn't want more money? You could do that. She's like, oh, well, we need 100 acres.
Yeah.
Sorry. We might need 5,000 acres.
Maybe
we'll need 6,000 or 5 acres. We're not really sure yet. We need a lot of acres. I mean, give me a break. You were fucking bragging, but that's part of your job on the show. I don't think it's the worst thing if she did say you were bragging about it, you know?
Right. So Lisa's like, Ion, our friendship will literally never survive this. And she goes, let it not survive. You cannot put words in my mouth. And Stanbury comes over. She goes, girls. So now they're asking her, like, you know, like, did you say this or whatever? And Ion is, they're just losing their minds. And Ion's like, I can't be friends with anybody because I'm always afraid of what you feel and how you feel about everything. And Lisa's like, what? Look at you. She goes, I am done. Don't turn things on me, Lisa.
And Lisa just keeps going, you're a liar, 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 over and over. And then Ion's like, ah!
Yeah, Ion does her very, like, loud emoting. And her son is there. I kind of feel bad. Like, her son is right there. Like, no one wants to see your mom get into a fight.
How can you not feel bad? Ion sobs. The most sobby, like, I've never seen anybody cry. I mean, I joke that Lisa Barlow cries like that on, she kind of does on Salt Lake City, where she's like, look, I'm crying. But Ion really is like, she sounds like an old man down a well. Just like,
she really is like the most stereotypical cry. You know, like I'm surprised she doesn't put her hands up to her eyes and just like rotate them. I'm crying.
And so Stanbury's like, oh my God, I can't believe that one word, bragging, that was never even said, has caused all this. Oh God. It's just, Sergio, come here. I've wanted to tell you something. It's season finale, so I've wanted to tell you something. There's something that I want to give you finally. After all this time talking about it, all this time discussing it, something I really want to give you. What is it, honey? Nothing. Please go get me a drink. Thank you. All right, feel better now.
And take that bow tie off your head. When I said take it off your neck, I didn't mean put it on your head. But it's like a little bow. It's pretty. No, Sergio. So we see Stanbury and Ion are now closer than ever. Sergio wants a baby now more than ever. And surrogacy is now legal in Dubai, so never say never.
So then Ion's saying she has never been hurt like this in her entire life. Which we know is a lie because we've heard about her life and it's been painful. but she's like, I've been very hurt and I can't take this. And so then we cut to Talene and Brooks, and Talene's like, I'm gonna zip. Laheim, laheim, everybody. And they're just making like drink jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we see Brooks's ending. And Caroline Brooks has ended her spiritual healing journey. Her truce with Talene has also ended. She's currently expanding the glass house to new locations where Lisa is more than welcome to host her next event.
And then we see Talene's wrap up. Talene is not giving up on her matchmaking efforts. She recently co-founded a dating app. Rafi still has baby boy fever, and Talene, not so much. And then now everyone's just like, there's people that are up, like, what's her face? Ion is up in like a room and she's changed into like a t-shirt. She's like crying and she's like, she picks up some like garment and blows her nose into it. And somebody goes, but that's Valentino.
And then, of course, Sarah's like, you know what I'm tired of? Everybody pretending your friendship is perfect because nothing's perfect. You know what? It cycles. It goes up and down. That'll be $10,000 for my spiritual journey ceremony or seminar. So then we see Sarah's ending. Sarah's maid is out of her and McToom's lives forever. She has been deported. Dun, dun, dun. Which I've never felt happier for a maid, because listen, I don't know what happened with the maid, whether it's true, whether it's like a crazy story. I've seen no evidence of anything, but I'm just glad she's not rotting in prison. I hope this is true, that they deported her. That could be the best thing that ever happened to that lady.
Well, guess what? Akeen is still trying to make his way back in. They rekindled briefly before Akeen's jealousy reared its head, its ugly head again. It's like, yeah, of course. So then now Lisa's saying, like, you know, I'm actually not okay. Like, the accusation she was making, Rich, the lie she was telling Rich, I feel like I'm seeing a different side of her tonight. And he's like, his face is like a tomato. And he's like, well, look, don't jump too far off the deep end here. She's like, no, Rich. And she says, I don't know where we go from here. I feel betrayed. I feel hurt. This is not my friend. This is not my sister. This is not the person I have known for so many years. I don't recognize her anymore. And she chokes up and she leaves. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this. So she's crying. We should also mention that the person who's enjoying this the most is Brooks, who at some point in the middle of this does the Brooks thing where she's sitting in her chair in the interview and then she leans forward. She grabs the arms. She leans forward. She goes, it's amazing. They hate each other now. Oh, yeah. She loves it.
She loves it. And she kind of helped orchestrate the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
Which is funny. So she's finally seeing it all come apart. And then basically this ending is that we don't know where Lisa and Ayan stand. Dun, dun, dun. They're both so hurt. They're both so hurt. They can't even take it. And then still of Ayan. And she's just in a white t-shirt. This is her stripped down to her most vulnerable in only a tee.
Ayan is still waiting for an apology from Lisa. She has changed Lisa's name in her phone from Hottest Jamaican to The Betrayer and Heartless. It's very House of Dragons. Lisa Milan, The Betrayer and the Heartless. Shame, shame, shame.
So, so funny. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for being here. This was a great time. We'll be back, of course, with the reunion.
Yeah.
Hopefully two-part reunion. I don't know how they make it three, but hopefully two parts over the next couple of weeks. So join us for that. If you want to join us on Patreon, that's where you will find our some fun recaps, just bonus episodes, videos. We have a new community chat feature for while you're watching the episodes live. There are a bunch of people in there talking. That's super fun. So go check that out. And we will talk to you guys next time, okay?
Bye.
Guys, bye now. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.